So I need someone to mansplain to me what fucking NFTs are, because everyone's been making a big deal about it. And there's been a ton of like news stories about it. And like all the tech bros are getting like really like in their feelings about it. So like, what the fuck is it?
Well, it's much like Bitcoin, where I've watched several videos trying to understand the concept and also the practicality of said thing, and don't understand, if I'm completely honest. I mean, I do understand, but I also don't understand.
I understand the technical aspects of it. However, I do not understand how you can sell a tweet for $2.3 million. I don't understand.
Someone
that.
Did that?
Jack,
what?
The founder of Twitter, sold the very first tweet as a non-fungible token for $2.3 million.
It's not as if he needs any more money, for fuck's sake.
No, like, exactly. It's literally just like, it's literally just opulence fucking bringing in cash for no fucking reason.
That's the thing I was suspicious about, because people were sort of like pitching it as this sort of solution to the problems in the art world and a way for artists to make money and democratize, like all the silly like language they use around like democratizing creativity or whatever the fuck.
Anytime anything is being democratized, what it means is they're non-centralizing where the labor comes from. It never has anything to do with actually democratizing who has power in like an industry.
So from my understanding, which is just my rudimentary kind of silly understanding, it's basically when you buy the original piece of content that has like the original metadata as some kind of status symbol, or what? How the fuck does it work?
It actually exists as an asset within a wallet of a certain kind, and so you can access them within certain digital spaces. So there are like some cyber, like social, crypto based fucking, I know, even the string of sentence like I'm trying to fucking say that sounds fucking bullshit, which is why I struggle to really connect it to the real world, because like you literally see these guys trying to explain it and they've got this little digital gallery where they've got all of these little things and stuff that they've collected with these NFT tokens, and they can display it to all of their friends and all these people they've invited round and stuff. And you're just like, well, I mean, that's literally cost you tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars. And all I can do is look around at it on like my laptop or whatever. That's just...
Well, what I feel like is like it's going to make ratchetness valuable, because the way that I learned about, well, it, ratchetness is already valuable, but it's going to increase the value of ratchetness, because most of the things you hear about being sold are silly things like memes. But the way that I heard about it was through, because of Azealia Banks, because she sold a sex tape. She did an NFT or something sex tape, or her boyfriend did it or some shit. And then also gossip websites like Gawker and a bunch of other ones, TMZ, are talking about making NFTs of really hot pieces of tea, like really, because gossip is also a commodity, especially if it's around certain public figures. And they're thinking about making, you know, these really hot, spicy pieces of gossip, like leaked audio of, I don't know, Kanye West saying some crazy shit, or leaked audio.
Oh, yeah.
Of,
because there's no way to find that anywhere in the world.
Or like leaked audio of like AOC saying the N-word or whatever. I'm sure that there are some people who would pay millions and
yeah,
millions.
Yeah, but the thing is, that it's not actually not copyable. Like it's copyable. You could copy the data. It's not something that it exists as a totally unique thing. It's that as a digital signature, you can't copy it. What it means by non-fungible is like a Bitcoin is a fungible token. Like more than one, there's more than one Bitcoin and they're all the same thing. Whereas with a non-fungible token, if I simplified a little bit, it's the same kind of thing as a Bitcoin, except for it is a totally unique signature. You couldn't copy the encryption, but the data inside it, you could copy. Like in theory, like everybody could have a copy of X sex tape, but only one person could have the non-fungible token of it.
Yeah. That's really, I don't know. So this is basically just like a playground for the elite. It's just sort of a place for them to basically show off opulence and consume silly status symbols. Like if someone wanted to buy like the very first like drawing of Pepe or something like that, or the very first Doge or whatever the fuck.
I kind of see it as like someone being like, like in GTA Online and like rocking up with like, you know, all this like amazing car that they've like grinded hours and hours for, and they've like legitimately earned all their money, and you're just like, that's like great. And then you could just like mod a bunch of money into your account and just fucking like do it and like rock up next to them. But yeah, what's up?
I like, think okay, so cool. Here's what we need like, to do.
What are we doing here?
At this point, we need to figure out if there is something that low society possesses that we could turn into a non-fungible token that somebody outside of our tiny little fucking grasp on the internet audience, somebody who has money, who is interested in non-fungible tokens and just collecting them for no real reason.
This very episode could be a non-fungible token.
Maybe a big fucking non-fungible token.
Yeah. So if you don't want to donate to us on Patreon, give us money. Give us $2 million for this non-fungible goodness, right?
Give us $2 million and instructions on how to make this episode into a non-fungible token.
So, I mean, another example I saw recently, well, you know, our Lord and Savior, Aphex Twin, also made an NFT this, like, today, I think, actually. It came out with Weirdcore of, like, his face, and it's this, like, gif of his face going around in this cool, like, pixelated way or whatever, and it sold for lots and lots of money. But also, like, Kings of Leon, like, actually sold their last album as an NFT. And so, like, it comes down to, like, what you were saying before, like, someone's got the NFT of that album, but does that mean... It's not like Wu-Tang Clan where, like, Shkreli had it and no one else could listen to it. Like, they're gonna... I know, but it's also, like, you know, what is the... This is my thing. Like, what's the point? Like, what's... Because you're still going to want to sell your album on iTunes and everywhere else for everyone else to listen to it. So what is the extra value of having the NFT of the album? And why would it be worth so much money? Because if it was worth so much money, but then that mean like the Shkreli thing, then that meant you had the rights for the new Wu-Tang album and you could decide you could do whatever the fuck you want with it. I understand why someone's then going to pay $6 million for that album. But if it's just a token to put in your crypto wallet and then it's going to be released in a month, do you know what I mean? Like, I'm really
I am right there with you on this.
You're asking an age-old question, which is why do rich people do any of the goofy shit that they do?
That's, like,
Well, I'm like kind of trying to see if it's worth the grift and seeing how easy it is to actually make the NFTs, because I do have like an album coming out soon and I'm fucking tempted to see if the scarcity of it, and if I can just see convince some fucking rich people to invest in me basically and like get the NFT of my album, bro.
I think every nerd boy has the same dream, but I don't think it works that way. I think the value depends on if the thing has memetic value. So like if it's like from a famous person, someone who has a profile already, then it has some kind of imbued value. And then memes, which have memetic value because like the collective unconscious decided it did, even though it does it in a very arbitrary sense, like Pepe, for instance, or the Nyan Cat meme, which someone just bought the Nyan Cat meme today and stuff. These are stuff, it's either you have a profile or it's something that has like really high memetic value, but you can't really plan what's going to have high memetic value, because most of the memes that have high memetic value, you know, it was arbitrary. The public just sort of, it was not as if the person was planning for it to become such an ingrained...
And they need to have a way that they can own that. That's the thing about it, is everybody has it, but they don't own it. Yeah. How can we own it?
Own it, yeah. That's weird.
It is.
It's super fucking weird.
You know, in that like children's book, The Little Prince, and there's that businessman that's trying to buy the stars. He's trying to own the stars, and he's sitting there like counting the stars, being like, those stars all belong to me, you know? And the little prince is like, how can you own stars, for fuck's sake?
Man, you're a bitch.
I highly recommend rereading Le Petit Prince if you haven't read it in a while. But yeah, it does seem silly, because to try to own something that like what's the it I don't know, it's some weird capitalist logic shit for sure.
Well, if people are spending lots of money and they're just trying to gobble up all the NFTs and my NFTs amongst them, That's all I'm saying, you know? Like, it could get me a little bit of extra funding. Yeah,
you're just counting on the fact that people are just like, it's an NFT, so it's probably going to be valuable at some point. I'm going to buy it for $1 million.
Well, the way that everybody's talking about it and the way it's getting reported on, it really does feel like that. That, like, literally, you could make an NFT of fucking anything and people are going to fucking buy it because they're just buying anything remotely related to it at the moment in hopes that it's going to increase in value.
I kind of want to do it now.
It feels like to me just like the fucking stock market in a way, and like cryptocurrencies were afterwards, and this is just the new form of that. It's just like a new gambling kind of thing for people with a lot of expendable money, or even lots of people with money made in dubious ways in which they can.
I think you got a good point there.
The art world has always been that, though. The art world has always been a way for rich people to sort of hold their money or launder money as well. So.
Like, I would be interested to, like, know, like, how, like, if an NFT, what it counts as. Do you know what I mean? If you've spent, like, that $69 million on the Beeple JPEG that sold whatever yesterday or whatever, like, if you, what does that count as? Does that count as an investment? Is this now an asset? Is this part of a taxable thing? Is this, like, a fucking, you know, a charitable donation? How does it get written off for you in a as a benefit for a rich person? Because I guarantee there's like some shit behind there as well.
That's kind of how Bitcoin kind of manages to be a really valuable, you know, currency, in that, like, you don't have to pay taxes on Bitcoin because it's not technically money. It's not fiat currency. It's a cryptocurrency that was invented, and it's technically software. It's technically abstract. It doesn't really exist anywhere other than in this peer-to-peer network that is decentralized entirely. So it's kind of
like, imagine if you were paying taxes on the virtual currency you earned in like The Sims or some shit. It's just not gonna happen. It's silly.
I feel like, kind of like, if you applied that logic from Bitcoin, I feel like that's probably what we're talking about.
A classic example of how, with people with that amount of wealth, how they can avoid things that regular people just can't. Like, I can't ask, you know, you couldn't ask your employer to pay you in Bitcoin, because that would then completely bypass all of that whole fucking system, right? Mm-hmm, even though Bitcoin's totally legit, man, and you can fucking do this and that. Yeah, try getting your employer to pay you in Bitcoin. see how that fucking goes. Like, it wouldn't fucking work. Like, but it's just another way for rich people to bypass fucking systems that are going to benefit the rest of society.
I just want to get on like Microsoft Paint and paint like an abstract like picture and like dye my hair pink and be like, this has value.
I'm gonna start like sketching like turds and stuff and make them into NFTs and just like putting them in wherever people buy NFTs from, like the NFT mall or whatever.
Well, why not? We for the fuck of it, we should just try it. We should try it and give it a
I think
go,
we should
mate.
Too.
We should just try it. Well,
announcing my turd auction.
Well, if you want to help us bypass the rest of society and make us rich people, if you want to give us disposable NFT income, donate to our Patreon at patreon.com/lowsociety. Be sure to check us out on Spotify as well. We also have an Audible. We're on Audible now, so you can check us out on Audible. Follow us on Twitter. Check us out on YouTube. We're everywhere that you can imagine.
Leave us 5-star reviews on Apple Music and Audible.
Yes, please do.
No 4-star bullshit.
Please do. And if you are a Patreon, you have a bonus episode. $5 gets you that. And also we have a $25 parasocial tier. So if you would like to have your questions recorded and answered on the show, join the parasocial tier. Help us get closer towards our goal of a second microphone. Thank you guys. What we're looking for in the UK right now is non-fungible royals, because some American bitch has come and fucked it all up for us. You know, I'm not happy about the situation. I'm not. How dare she? Who the fuck does she think she fucking is? This is England. We're talking about the great House of Windsor, okay? The great fucking House of Windsor. And she thinks she can come and destabilize our monarchy. Pish posh.
Wow, she's got that in like deep like Nigerian like you know, stuff is coming through here. Right
that
now.
Prestige okay. television has left like, a mark.
Yeah, Downton Abbey all the way, bitch.
My goodness. Well, you know, no. I'm not
obviously, I'm joking. Like, look at these fucking soy boys. They're all like shooken. Like, Angie has turned into a royalist. No, I haven't. I'm fucking joking, of course.
She's not even, though. She's not joking.
Maybe a little, maybe a lot. But no, honestly, if I'm honest, I prefer traditional royalty above this new breed of celebrity influencers who tried to convince us that, like, they're our friends. Like, I preferred it when the elite sneered at us from above and they were in their castles and wearing shiny hats and not fraternizing with the hoi polloi.
Well, it was so much easier to tell people, like, these people are evil.
Yeah, literally. Like, literally.
Like, now when you say it, they're like, no, they're the same as
you're
me.
Misogynist. You're a misogynist. You're a racist. You don't care about mental health.
That time I said that, the celebrities coming out as trans like don't experience the same thing as like working class trans people, and people were like, "You're just acting transphobic." It's like, what the fuck is your problem?
But that's what frightens me the most, is that our elites have such a high moral cover now, and they're able to sort of successfully employ strength of weakness in order to conceal the immense amount of wealth and privilege. For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, Prince Harry and Meghan, his wife, the fucking Duke and Duchess of Sussex, okay? That's a pretty high position. That's a pretty high fucking position to be in. They were senior royals. And last year, they left the royal family mysteriously, caused a bit of a rift. Everyone was like, oh my God, what's going on here? You know, is there beef? What's happening? And then, you know, they did an interview with Oprah last week where they spilled the tea. They spilled all the royal tea and accusations were made. Accusations of racism were made, and accusations of neglect and all kinds of things were made. And a lot of people were like super invested in Meghan and Harry's story. And, you know, it's gotten to the point now where countries are threatening to leave the Commonwealth of Britain, of the crown, basically. And, you know, there's been a lot of sort of backlash towards the British royal family. Piers Morgan stormed off the morning breakfast show and he is no longer at ITV. It was a very big dramatic display that happened. And yeah, it's been like a huge fiasco over on this side of the pond. A lot of really annoying conversation happening on morning television. lots of black people yelling, lots of, you know, posh white people yelling too. It's just been a bit of a
I gotta show you what I did. It just did not get enough attention.
Oh my God.
I feel like what happened is I made this Photoshop of Anakin and Padme standing across from Oprah and it looked so much like the real interview that people just didn't notice it.
I can just imagine Harry just sitting there just like, you know, when I was in Afghanistan, I just hate sand. You know, it's coarse. It gets everywhere.
Was he killing younglings or whatever?
He was killing younglings.
I mean, I don't know exactly what he was particularly doing, but there was a lot of bombings, wasn't there, in those areas. He was in the Air Force and a lot of civilians did get killed. So he could have literally done an Anakin and done the younglings.
Oh,
but I would never make such accusations against the royal crown in your presence.
Ewan McGregor is actually laughing as he says that line.
Yeah, I bet he is. How could you keep a fucking straight face? He's getting ripped for the Obi-Wan series. But anyway, we digress. If you're fucking fussed about the royal family in 2021, you're a fucking mug. I think that Piers Morgan is one of the biggest bootlicking shills to exist in British media today.
But his instincts about the sort of dishonesty are correct, though, in my opinion. I don't agree with his sort of royalist bootlicking. Like, that's fucking bullshit.
It's silly. It's just outright silly that anybody's still like that.
Yeah, but no, but it's a thing here, trust me. Not even just around the world.
Oh, no, I know. It's not even a thing just there.
Yeah,
you can find it here. Like, If you want me to be completely clear, I have relatives that have stakes in this, which is like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
No, but like even Canada, Africa, all the different parts of the Commonwealth, India, like, you
and
know.
By stakes in this, you mean commemorative plates in this. They have yes, all the commemorative
exactly,
plates.
Yeah. Fucking they... exactly. Fucking exactly.
That's,
like,
we'll
yeah, they're not even people with money or people with anything. They're people who have
on.
Jack shit. And it's just like, oh, I fucking love the royals.
We'll get on to the appeal of monarchy later, but let's unpick the discourse first. But yeah, like, so Piers, you know, I don't agree with his royal bootlicking, whatever, weird, bad. But in terms of his instincts about the sort of gaslighting of this kind of mode, the strength of weakness, the appeal to victimhood, and also the immense privilege that Meghan and Harry have, I think his instincts there were kind of spot on. But the thing is, as soon as like the racism or mental health comes into a question, nobody wants to hear it. Nobody wants to even examine any of it. The person who says that thing is now beyond reproach. And if you question them, you are actively hostile. And it kind of reminded me of the whole AOC thing.
Yeah, and, the trauma yeah. politics.
Yeah, the trauma politics, the sort of therapeutic lexicon that they use mm-hmm, to mm-hmm. conceal their privilege in that sense. And it's also not really about race. Like, so they're the whole conversation in this country. And it's so, it pisses me off because Black people keep posting their L's like left and right. When Meghan was marrying into the royal family, none of them were like, oh, they're colonialists. All the sort of celebrity Black people were like, oh, yes, queen, go, you go, girl. And now that the shit has gone pear-shaped, they're like, oh, they're fucking colonizers. They're settlers. They're blah, blah, blah. And it's like,
well,
were they settlers before? Like, what happened?
Well, the Oscars, for instance, are a good example of this exact same thing. The Oscars are great if there's a chance of winning one. But when there isn't, the Oscars so white.
It's so stupid. And it's like, stop posting your L's up and down. And
like, if the institution is racist, call it racist instead of trying to get it to, like, open the door. It's just enough for you. Like, it's bullshit.
But that's what it's about. It's about opening the door just for me, giving me the sort of representation of opulence that I desire. But
yeah, it comes yeah. back to that same bullshit representation,
yeah, representation
in the ruling
yeah.
class paradigm.
Yeah.
And let's be absolutely clear. Whatever senior member of the royal family or the institution of the crown or however the fucking PR wanted to phrase it, asked how dark is your baby going to be to Meghan is probably the least fucking racist thing that's come out of the British institution's fucking mouth. It's the,
yeah.
ever.
Yes!
Yeah.
Like, but, so to be like, we're going to cancel the royal family and put them on notice because they said bad things to Meghan. It's like,
no,
that
the
is
House
the
of Windsor.
That is like the last thing
you
on the list of all of the things that you could say, like, oh, the British monarchy, it needs to be disbanded because of this, this, and this. All these absolutely valid reasons to give back all the fucking ridiculous amounts of land the Queen has and all these crazy places that aren't just the UK, like all these good valid reasons. No, she asked how brown is a mixed baby gonna be.
Like,
that was
I would even
racist.
Ask that, like, if me and Jake had a baby, I would even want to know the answer to that question because I don't want no white baby. I don't want people to think that I'm the baby's nanny. I want them to think that it's my baby, and I want people to look at Jake weird when he's walking down with our baby down the street and be like, did you kidnap this baby, sir? Is it yours?
No, also, like, it's like, I think you're a bit fucking, I don't know, maybe I'm about to eat my fucking words here, so absolutely wait for this one. But, like, I think if like, my mum asks you, like, how dark do you think the baby's going to be? I don't think that you would be,
my
racism.
Mom, no,
you'd
my
be
mom,
like, oh, well, I don't know.
The
like,
reason
you know.
Why is because my mom would be asking the goddamn same ass question. She would ask the same question. My Nigerian mom, all my Nigerian family would be like, ah, you're going to give birth to a white baby. Blah, 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 blah. That's exactly what they would be fucking saying. And I can already hear it in my head. It's already happening. It's just natural when you're in an interracial coupling that questions are going like that are going to, because people are curious. And it's like, you know, it's like a normal question to ask. And like you said, it's probably like the least racist thing to ever come out of the monarchy, probably.
Yeah. I mean, well, it was literally the center of the empire that conquered fucking Earth.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
To, like, pretending exactly. that, like, this is the thing that finally, like, oh my God, it's too much. They said something vaguely racist on an individual level. Like, fuck off. Come on.
Like, Prince, the Duke of Edinburgh, fucking Philip, has said some pretty crazy shit over the years. Like, he didn't he?
Oh, so he doesn't just swing at race either. so
Prince,
like,
Prince Philip is based as
not even shooting abroad. Not even shooting abroad. So here we go. Top one on this list is British women can't cook.
He just see this is how you can tell that he just comes from this era where power is power. You have it and you just look down on everybody because you have it.
Okay.
Perfect. So, I prefer to be topped. Top me.
So it looks like the kind of thing my daughter would bring back from her school art lessons, he muttered while being shown Ethiopian art in 1965.
Okay, so I want to go ahead and point out that, like, I mean, while that is obviously racist, it's also fucking hilarious. Like, here's the thing. The difference is, okay, so this is why it's fucking hilarious. Because, A, we know the power relation that this person has with other people. He has absolutely no accountability in his life. It doesn't matter what anybody says about this person. He can just say whatever the fuck he wants, and that's it. And that's why it's funny to me. Because
give me more.
people think nowadays that a celebrity is their friend and that they have mm-hmm. the ability to cancel mm-hmm. them. They mm-hmm. can tell them to learn mm-hmm. or do better or mm-hmm. whatever. And to some extent, like, it's all lip service, but they have to pretend that that stuff is real and that it actually has some form of bearing over their lives. When in fact, they have all of the power, like, as somebody with all of the wealth and capital in the world, somebody who is in a position of power doesn't need to do any of that shit, but they do it anyway because it obscures the actual power. Like, it makes it seem like this is the thing that matters. This is me spending all of my time making sure that I care about what you think or you feel like you have been tended to properly by me. It just, when you see Prince Philip just say some shit like that, he just doesn't care. Like, he's just like, I have all the power here. It doesn't matter what I say. That's fucking hilarious.
It's just sex play. It's sex play. It's like foreplay, basically. They think that they're doing their little foreplay sex play with people who have, like, serious power over them. It's fucking
But every single one of them could just have any of us killed at any time.
Yeah,
they could
anytime.
They could call up somebody with a burner phone. They could give them $1 million and they would kill somebody for them.
Give okay. us more.
Can I give you three more absolute
more.
Peaches that I think are give way more cancelable than asking Meghan Markle what color a baby's going to be?
Go on.
Okay, so aren't most of you descended from pirates? He inquired to an islander while in the Cayman Islands in 1994. Okay. This one is a doozy, this one. How do you keep the natives off the booze long enough to pass the test? He asked a Scottish driving instructor in 1995.
He's still
in 1995.
He's so just, fucking charming. It's just so fucking charming.
He calls okay. the Scottish natives.
They are. Yeah. What I've been saying for years.
How do you keep the natives at bay?
Is Hadrian's Wall still erect?
Okay, I'll give you one more that's just brilliant, I think. So he just simply asked, you managed to not get eaten, when he was talking to a British student who's been trekking in Papua New Guinea.
Oh my God.
Jesus.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus.
So, I mean, you know, it's wild. There is no specific target. And, like, it just goes to show, like, it doesn't matter if you're black or anything. Like, the royals see themselves as above anybody. They're like another thing, and not to be like, oh, they're shapeshifters, I've seen them be lizards. Like, I haven't done that, but people have said that. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's no smoke without fire. That's all I'm trying to say.
No, but here's the thing, though. I think Meghan, because she's this sort of arrogant, narcissistic American girl who's sort of been churned out by the capitalist celebrity you know, paradigm and sort of indoctrinated in all of the liberal platitudes. I think she honestly thought that the Royal House of Windsor would change for her, that she would marry into the family and that the Queen would immediately buy a copy of Robert DiAngelo's White Fragility and
start doing the diversity seminars in the Royal.
Literally, that's what she thought. And it's like, this is the Royal House of fucking Windsor we're talking about.
They send out an email to all of the employees of Buckingham Palace. We've got a diversity seminar on Tuesday at 3 p.m.
Can you imagine Philip, the fucking Duke of Edinburgh, in a fucking diversity seminar? Could you fucking imagine that shit happening? That would be the most hilarious thing in the world. Like, seriously.
I can only imagine. I genuinely can't come up with a thing that he would say. He's that insane.
I'd love just him and Boris Johnson and like Jacob Rees-Mogg all in the same like little diversity awareness course. It would be so brilliant.
Oh dear, oh dear. But yeah, like, she sort of had this like entitled liberal mentality, thinking that she could go into the fucking, you know, palace of like vampire, gargoyle, inbred, colonial fucking overlords and make them, you know, respect her racial heritage or whatever. And I mean, they did pay lip service. If you saw the wedding between her and Harry, they had Oprah there. They highlighted her mom specifically because her mom's the black parent. There was a preacher from America, a choir of black singers. They tried to do the whole thing. And, you know, people sort of saw it as like this moment of quote unquote genuine British multiculturalism. And it's like, do you know who you're dealing with? Like, the fucking Saxa Kerber Goethes that are like, that's there. They're not actually Windsors. They took that name so we wouldn't know they're fucking German. They're German. Fucking scary roots. But the Saxa Kerber Goethes are definitely not about multiculturalism unless they're profiting off of it, you know, usually brutally.
I remember briefly looking at it when the ceremony was on and I was like, oh, I didn't realize there was like a third Blues Brothers film. But then I realized James Brown wasn't there, and obviously, you know, they wouldn't do that without James Brown's. And then Meghan and Harry were there, so I was like, oh, this is the royal wedding. This isn't Blues Brothers.
Well, it's the old elite versus the new elite. I feel are far worse and far more insidious than this old elite. And I feel like a lot of people don't think that the new elite is like that bad because they haven't had like 300 years to prove how terrible they are. But talk to me 300 years in the future. If this sort of mode of strength of weakness and, you know,
I don't know. I kind of think they have already shown it personally. I don't know. I feel like if you're actually materially describing what's going on to somebody who is unindoctrinated, it's obvious that it's like way better at obscuring actual power, like way better at diverting attention away from like real like change.
Did you hear or see our boy Michael Tracy try to get everyone together on Clubhouse to figure out all these problems?
And big mistake. Big
oh
mistake.
My goodness, man. It's like
the audio is online.
Yeah, the audio is online, so you can have a listen to it. It's actually fucking crazy. I would say it's on par with that DSA clip, I would say. Just like the amount of babble and nonsense and just like fucking like language that they try to use to sort of make themselves feel and seem like intellectually and morally superior to people, and like, oh my god, it's just crazy.
No, he basically had like a bunch of like his sort of bog standard liberal kind of rational skeptic types trying to sort of talk to, and like some sort of non-woke kind lefty types, and they were trying to sort of talk to the woke types and give them, you know, the benefit of the doubt and hear what they had to say, not knowing that you can't really do that with these sorts of people because it's not going to be a conversation. And they basically ended up taking over the parlor room, kicking all of the white people out of the clubhouse room, and then using it to talk about how evolutionary biology is inherently eugenicist and just all of this crazy shit. But it's not the kind of ideology that you can negotiate with, really. And that's the thing that makes me the most afraid of it, is it's like Yeah, the old elites are bad, but I prefer their naked contempt for us. I really don't like this sort of new breed of elite and the sort of moral cover that they've engineered for themselves. And also the vassals that, you know, the PMC sort of vassals that work to protect their power. Owen Jones, of course, came out in favor of Meghan Merkel. Even though he's supposed to be an anti-royalist or whatever, he came out in favor and was talking about how people criticizing her are showing that they don't care about race or mental health, which is just the most ghoulish, fucked up, you know, thing to say. And these people in the media sort of provide a moral cover for these fucking elites. It's either you're for Harry and Meghan or you're against the royals. And it's like you can be against the royals and also against Harry and Meghan at the same time.
Well, I mean, they're royals.
Yeah.
They are royals.
Yeah. You can be against both of them and see kind of through it or whatever. But people have just been making these sort of bog standard, like boring arguments about it. And there's been a huge race row in the UK. And I don't know how the House of Windsor are going to deal with this one. I mean, they've dealt with worse. Like Diana was even more of a fucking, you know, stain on their reputation because people loved Diana and she spilled tea on the royals. She did an interview where she basically talked about having anorexia when she was pregnant because she was so sort of neglected and, you know, had a lot of mental distress having to be part of the family and blah blah blah, and that was very damaging to them. And also her death was also incredibly damaging to them. But the Queen has her PR rule is never complain and never explain, which I think is pretty fucking genius. And I mean, even as a really small public figure that's like fairly insignificant, that is kind of a golden rule, like never complain and never explain, because with public PR disasters, the more you try to explain yourself, the worse it fucking gets. And like they even managed to fucking kick the whole Prince Andrew thing under the rug. They managed to fucking kick that whole thing out under the rug. He got like a little rap on the knuckles and I think they cancelled his birthday party. and that was about it, really. But I doubt this is going to really do much damage. Like there's all this speculation that, you know.
You know, Ghislaine is yet to go through her trial, isn't she? So it's all yet to really come to a conclusion with all of that, I think, with Prince Andrew as well.
I mean, she could always die.
Yeah. But even then...
She could always, you know, kill herself.
Commit suicide. Yeah. Commit the old suicide.
The interesting thing, though, is that Queen Elizabeth has been a reigning monarch in England for so long that it's going to be difficult for people to accept someone else. She's been like, you know, it's been like 50 years or some shit. You know, there's generations of people who have like known her as queen. And I don't know how easy it will be for the public to accept someone else. So maybe the monarchy really is on its last legs. Or maybe they're going to do the Wakanda kneel. They're going to put on the kente cloth and do the kneel and all will be well. They'll have manufactured consent for themselves once more.
It'll be like that joke in Family Guy and the Queen will die and then the rest of the royals will unzip themselves and all the black people stand out from their costumes and be like, how do you feel a brand new day?
Great. What? They do the musical number from Oz?
Yeah.
I can't believe you said that. It's so fucking racist. What's wrong with you?
And then he'll feel accepted and like come back.
Unfortunately, Jake's personal history of colonialism and imperialism colors that statement.
It does, big time. And I'm telling on you for clout. I'm going to go on Oprah and I'm going to spill the tea and say, Jake asked me questions that were inappropriate.
And Oprah's going to make that face.
Yeah, her face.
Just like,
well.
Really?
Even if you know, Lizzie dies and then it is the end of the monarchy, all I really care about is like, does that mean anything for the British people?
Because the bourgeoisie has a like more, the bourgeoisie have gotten too fucking brave, number one, which is, I think the elites did a bad job of letting these bourgeoisie motherfuckers, like the actual aristocracy, have let these bourgeoisie motherfuckers reach a little bit too high, in my opinion. And that's not me being a traditionalist. I'm just saying, like, from a pragmatic Machiavellian POV, they kind of made a deal with the devil when they started to allow the bourgeoisie to kind of ascend in that sense. But they did it to manufacture consent. They didn't want to seem stuffy. They wanted to seem modern. Also, capitalism kind of overtook feudalism in that sense. But the real honest truth is the ruling class has evolved beyond that kind of feudal symbolic hierarchy at this point. So I don't think the royal family is like our biggest problem. And like people act as if the monarchy was abolished. I mean, it would definitely have a lot of implications in terms of the Commonwealth and the taxpayer money that goes towards supporting their lifestyle as well. But in terms of an overall systemic shift, there's already something even worse that's like evolved out of, you know.
Oh yeah. Like, and let's be clear, like, it's not that the royals are out making laws and ruling. They could if they wanted to, but they are not doing it.
Well, that's the thing, that people say they could if they wanted to, but like they can't, because I remember seeing this when Boris Johnson got elected prime minister, of like, oh, the Queen will never accept him, the Queen will never accept Boris Johnson, she'll just say no and they'll have to find someone else. And you're like, what fucking planet do you live on? Like, there's no scenario in this world where like the Queen is going to deny the vote of the people and like act against that and use her quote unquote sovereignty to do anything. Like, that would never happen. Like, because people would just go fucking mental if that actually happened. People would fucking freak out.
Yeah, but that's the dog and pony show, as opposed to like, if they wanted to, they have the resources to do some kind of military coup or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, they have the ability to do that. Really, any capitalist out there does.
It's not just that. She's one of the biggest landowners on the planet. And she does definitely have certain veto powers in terms of like legislature as well.
As a capital holder, like in the private sector, automatically, if you own a shitload of land, you own a lot of power.
Yeah, it's not as if she's a completely toothless figure in that sense. But there's also like Jeff Bezos and, you know, there are lots of other bigger, Bill Gates, you know, there are lots of people out there who are may not be members of the traditional aristocracy, but they're sort of a newer, more insidious aristocracy, in my opinion. And just getting rid of this one isn't going to solve the problem. And you have a lot of these like fake fucking bullshit Owen Jones leftoid types in the UK who are like, yeah, if we dismantle the monarchy, it will be this like big progress and all of this stuff. And it's like, are you going to seize all the land back? Are you going to, even if we stop paying the taxes to them, and stop maintaining their estates and things like that, they still have legal rights over those things, unless you did some serious big dick governmental moves to seize that shit. Like, it would basically be a symbolic stepping down at best. And the aristocracy would probably still retain all of their power and like wealth. But yeah, I'm interested to see where this goes, but I doubt it's really going to go anywhere significant.
It's culture war. It's culture flat out war. Culture war.
Yeah. And it's also Harry and Meghan establishing their brand, you know?
Yep. That's exactly what it is. Absolutely. They are using this 100%. Like, they're going to be fucking, like, who's another one? Like, the Obamas or like Melinda and Bill Gates or anything like that, where they have this sort of, not necessarily like endless presence, but whenever they really want to assert this sort of like, oh, we're the royals that could, right? You know,
well, they'll just kill it with a bigger story. And that's like, you know, that's why I feel like, you know, they're bringing out more of that alien stuff, is to try and distract people from it and to show people that like that. And that's maybe like, there was some Reddit person that claimed that he was like abducted by aliens and that they were going to like announce themselves to humanity on like June 7th, 2021 or something. And that lines up with the exact date that when they would have to release that information for the COVID law and all of that, because you know all of that was like tied in with the COVID bill. And so people are like, oh my god, all the dates line up, this is fucking trippy. But then maybe it's like the British monarchy crumbles, and then they're like, fuck, what is big enough to crush the story of the British monarchy? Oh, well, aliens, they finally come here, they with the big announcement. It doesn't matter.
It's just wishful thinking on your part. You just want the aliens to be here so badly.
I do feel like they kind of understand that more people with resources are poking
into that stuff, and they do have secret government documents and stuff they can drop.
Why do you always act so chill about this thing when you talk about it? Like, it wouldn't break your brain if it came out that it was true.
Well, because it's true. Like, I already think that it's true.
I don't know. I believe in, like, fucking demons and shit, but for some reason, aliens are a bit much for me. And I still haven't fully grasped, like, the idea that, and I feel like if it was, I would have, like, a full-on existential, like, breakdown. Like, I don't think I'd be able to handle it.
The way I think about it is, like, out of all of the things that the government is withholding from us, the state is withholding from us, the aliens, like, matter the least. Like, healthcare would probably be a better one to have.
Definitely.
But if it did happen, wouldn't you shit your pants?
Maybe a little, but, like, I don't think it's gonna. I think they use that information that they've classified over decades as kind of a way to, like, exactly what Jake is saying, just keep people away from whatever thing is going on.
Yeah, I do think there's been more, like, active activity, so to speak, like, you know, in the last 20 years or whatever, which is why you've had those other kind of CIA videos come out and, you know, all this other stuff happening. But I mean, it's going to be wild. I think if it's like, if it's at the ultimate peak of the crazy and it's like as wild as it gets, and it's like what what's his name, that fucking dude from Israel, Netanyahu. Yeah, and fucking whatever. They reckon that they're in, like, a galactic, you know, ring of civilizations, and that they're all, like, in some sort of parliamentary government, and that they've got secret deals with America and Israel.
That sounds pretty insane. I'm just waiting for the mothership to go over Buckingham Palace and for the Queen to reveal her, like, lizard form and, like, float off.
And for the Queen to, like, send an email to tell them when the diversity seminar is.
Robert D'Angelo.
Mothership at Tuesday at 3 p.m. We're having a diversity seminar.
Robert D'Angelo confirmed lizard. I knew it.
$100,000 payment for the diversity seminar. Actually pretty low.
The aliens come down and present themselves and, like, come outside Buckingham Palace, and then, like, the Queen steps out and all the press is there. And then, like, she turns into, like, her lizard being self or whatever and, like, greets the aliens. And then David Icke is just there like, I fucking knew it. I knew it. I fucking told you. I fucking knew it.
Oh, well, yeah. Just to, you know, clarify, I'm not a royalist bootlicker, you know.
You sound more like one, though, when you refer to them as, like, the Royal House of Windsor a lot.
Well, that's what they are. That's what they are, isn't it? So shush. Have some respect.
I call them fucking scumbag, leech fucking shitheads that, like, destroy.
Well, I'm somebody who likes period drama, and, you know,
I like Always Sunny, and I like the meme that they're like the McPoyles, but with power.
They, like, sent many of my ancestors to meaningless wars, and they probably...
Yeah, they fucked up my ancestors worse than they fucked up yours, but, you know, weddings and pretty dresses and crowns and stuff, you know, and lots of tea. That's what they provide us with, the tea and the gossip. It's
the literal tea as well.
The actual
tea, as in the stuff that you dunk into a cup of hot water.
But let's not talk about that, because that connotes, you know, bad things like colonialism and, you know, slavery and stuff. So, yeah, just the pretty dresses, you know, and the weddings and the babies. The babies are really cute. I know that I'm not supposed to say that, but if there was, like, a quote unquote revolution, we would have to save the babies. I don't have the stomach to eradicate the younglings.
Well, and I, you know, again, I feel like I have to...
bring up the fucking younglings.
I feel like I have to preface this, like, more often than I should probably on this podcast, but I'm not misogynistic. But at the same time, it's just the kind of age that you're at, I feel like, sweetheart, what, where you're fuck? Just like, you know, babies, wow. babies. Oh, and, like, God. You know, you know, that'll be a reality one day, you know, I'm sure. But it does also make me freak the fuck out every time you're like, babies are cute. Babies.
Every time my kids burst into the room and interrupt the recording, you're just like...
No, I want your mom to ask me whether the baby's going to be brown so that I can kick up a huge fuss and get lots of media attention.
Go to OK Magazine and get 20 grand.
Yeah, exactly. Like, my boyfriend's mum did a racism and I'll get paid lots of money and everyone will think I'm a shiny victim. And, you know, that's how you do it these days. That's the grift. So if you guys want to help me deal with all the misogynistic and racist abuse that I deal with on a daily basis, being a member of the House of, I don't want to say Jake's last name because I don't want to dox him, but being a member of the House of Jake, you know, it's pretty hard for me. You know, I have all kinds of mental health issues. He tells me that I should shut up and get in the kitchen and cook for him. He doesn't pay attention to me. He's mean to me. He says racial things. So if you want to donate to my fund, you know, Patreon. Wait, what is it?
And if you enjoy the abuse that I give Angie and you want to continue it and support that, then you can go to also to Low Society Patreon.
The whole crumble yeah. thing,
and
all that.
Donate there. And more will happen there too. So
really just whatever. Just if you think of doing an action at all, make that action yeah. be giving us yeah. money.
We can create our own dynasty, you know, and then oppress the poor people, our poor listeners.
No, how it's I see our thing much more like a Source family kind of like story going on.
Like a cult.
Where like, yeah, where like, you know, we start some sort of like tasty restaurant together and it's the buzz about town and everyone wants to come and hear our rad politics whilst they munch on our tasty kofta kebabs or whatever the fuck. Mm. And then
like
all
Gordon
of a sudden,
Ramsay comes in and fixes everything.
And then all of a sudden, I'm Yahweh, and you're
Mary. I'm Mary Magdalene.
Peter
is Xenu.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm obviously Xenu, the Galactic Tyrant.
And we all have 12 sexual disciples.
12 sexual polycule.
But it's the best restaurant in town still, even with all of that going on. It's the best food you've ever had in your life.
Somebody thinks they're fucking Xenu in the back. You hear about this shit?
No, polycule restaurant cult is not as glamorous as royalty, and it's definitely not as glamorous.
I mean, it's basically the same thing. Royalty is basically a polycule restaurant cult.
It basically is.
You were going on about titles like, oh, he's the Duchess of Sussex or whatever the fuck. Mate, I'd be fucking Yahweh. Like, that's like the biggest title you could have.
There's this guy down at the restaurant. He calls himself Yahweh. He's pretty good at making food.
He keeps offering me acid. Like, asking if I
He keeps offering me speed.
Like, of all the drugs, I'm sorry, why? It's so gross. Speed. It's so horrible. Just, like, do cocaine like a normal person, for fuck's
sake. Hey, I mean, the Nazis know a thing or two when it comes to drugs, okay? And that shit was in everything. Okay, I watched a fantastic documentary the other day that was talking about, like, Panzer Chocolate or something like that, which is literally, like, fucking chocolate filled with drugs that they used to give people that wrote like that drove the tanks so that they would be fearless as they fucking drove into battle and would just fucking go yeah schnell fucking destroying everything. And it's just like, that is like intense, and I really want to try some of that Panzer chocolate now. Like, I bet it would be a fucking riot. Like, you could have a bar of that before you go out to a club and you're fucking done, mate. No sneaky bathroom trips, no nothing. You just had a nice bar of chocolate and you're pounding.
Or you could just learn German. Like, if you talk that way, it just sounds that way.
No, Jake on uppers, but he's exactly like a cat on catnip. Like, his eyes like dilate like this, and he's just like just insane. Like, he already has like a lot of energy naturally, and he's just like a fucking fireball, and he runs away from me when we go to parties and I can't find him for most of the night, and he's just somewhere with his shirt off with his eyes like this, just like fucking vibrating with like energy.
What was the most amazing thing is, like, I remember this must have been like the second or third time I'd ever done Mandy, and like I was again usual state, as Angie described, shirtless at the end of the night. I was at Download Festival. I just in the fucking Prodigy live, mate. I had done like 2 grams of Mandy during Chasing Status and fucking Prodigy. I was absolutely fucking buzzing.
It's embarrassing. And then it's embarrassing. Like his jaw is like locked.
Prodigy had just finished. My fucking shirt was like tucked into the front of my jeans that were like hanging off my ass, like some sort of hillbilly. I had like a V for Vendetta mask on, and my pupils were filling out the entire eye space of like the V for Vendetta mask, so it just looked completely black.
But yeah, if you want to help me throw Jake and Peter under the bus, accuse them of racism,
the double decker red bus,
yes,
specifically
the double decker, exactly, if you want to help me accuse them of racism and talk about my horrible experience on Low Society Podcast, I'm going to be releasing it as an NFT. I'm going to be spilling the tea in NFT form for you to pay me for NFTEA. And I'm also going to say a bunch of problematic traditionalist royalist things as well, because I don't feel like I can truly, I mean, I don't know why I don't feel like I can truly be myself here on Low Society. I feel like I have to keep all my traditionalist royalist stuff under wraps, lest I be accused of being a reactionary. So yeah, if you want to hold out for that, pay me money on Low Society Patreon. Follow us on Twitter as well. We're there. We're on YouTube. We're everywhere where you can find things. Make sure you leave us 5-star reviews. Leave us a comment. Let us know what your opinions are on this royal fiasco. We always enjoy reading your comments.
The only kind of royalist I'm in favor of is the rise of my cannibal kingdom after society breaks down, okay? Every other kind of kingdom and like royalty can suck a dick. It's just going to be me, Danny McBride style. Like, this is the end. That'll be it.
Quickly, before you go, do we have any parasocial Patreon stuff?
Oh, yeah, let's have
just very quickly before we go.
It's kind of looking like no. So,
parasocial patrons, get in contact if you want to send over your message and stuff. I couldn't see any messages from anyone this week. So, if I'm missing it, please like hit me up in the Discord or send us a separate email on lowsocietypodcast@gmail.com.
Also, in terms of parasocial patrons, let's say you have something other than a question, like something you want us to react to or something you want to just say to a lot of people, you're welcome to do that too.
If you just want to send me your most inspirational Darman clip, like, send me that and I would definitely take that aspiration for the day with me.
Well, thank you all for listening, and we shall catch you again with another episode in a couple of days. We love you.
Peace out.
Bye.